opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today we're going to talk about the idea that people have personal rules. And now there goes a fire engine, so Godspeed on your errand of mercy to our first responders. But we're talking about the idea of people having personal rules. In my private practice of 34 years as a psychologist in Northern California, what I see is that people tend to believe certain things. Now, the kind of personal rules I'm talking about are not those positive kind of mantras that you might have, such as having an attitude of gratitude or personally, you always try to be kind or generous, or you have a work ethic and you work hard. Those kind of personality traits and things that you try to emulate of people you admire, maybe your parents, maybe someone else, those kind of positive personal values are not exactly what I'm talking about here. In my practice, I'm kind of always listening for people to express a personal rule. And these kind of come in the forms of a personal belief or a thought pattern or how they view others or society or any group that they're talking about. So in a therapeutic setting, when they're dealing with a problem, say they're in the office, they've come to see me because they have relationship issues, I'm listening for what their personal rules are about relationships, about their partner, say they're a heterosexual couple and I'm seeing a woman, I'm listening to her personal rules and views about men, about husbands, about men in relationships. And the rules kind of stand out to me, almost like a red flag. So at some point during the session, I might say to the client, look, it sounds like you've got some personal rules involving relationships. Let's explore those. And they almost invariably say, what do you mean personal rules? And so I start to define it like I'm doing for you here today. The reason I want my listeners to take a look at their personal rules is because it is an insight into your own consciousness. It's a window into your soul. When you can recognize you have personal rules about certain things, then you can take a look at yourself from a bunch of different angles. For example, people often have personal rules based on assumptions that they have or that they have formed over the years. I hear many personal rules based on trauma. Now, and let's not go as far as say it's a big, huge trauma. Many people feel they have been burned by a certain situation. And when they feel burned, meaning betrayed or not valued, then those feelings of being burned create personal rules for them in an effort to keep themselves safe. I hear personal rules based on family of origin beliefs, on society beliefs. Many have formed personal rules based on what they've been told religiously as they're growing up. And then I hear personal rules based on personal safety fears. So those are just a few of the categories. But when people stop to look at what their personal rules are, and they really explore them, they can learn a lot about themselves. And I want to share with you the very first time this occurred to me. It was way back when I was getting my master's degree, a very long time ago, and I was in what's called a practicum, which in your psychology advanced degrees, you are in a group therapy setting where you're supposed to explore your own personal issues and make yourself a better therapist and all of that. So I was in a practicum group, and I remember just kind of spouting off, well, you know, all women are catty. That's what I said. And I had gotten this personal rule from my mom. from the time I was little, I can remember my mom saying, women are catty, don't ever trust them, they gossip. You have to be very careful what you tell your women friends because they'll go and tell everybody. And this was kind of a personal rule that my mom stated out loud in many different ways the whole time I was growing up. So by the time I'm in my graduate school, it had never occurred to me to question this or to think she was wrong. I just thought it was kind of a fact that women were catty and you couldn't trust them with your personal thoughts and feelings and anything like that. So I kind of spouted this off in the group and I said, well, you know, women are catty and I have more friends that are men than I do women. And I remember this one woman, she was a beautiful Native American woman. I remember her leaning forward from around the circle in the group, and she said, I want to take issue with this. She said, I am a good person. I'm a good friend. I keep people's confidences, and I resent the fact that you are lumping all women into your category that all women are catty. I was blown out of the water. It took me up short. For the first time in my life, I realized that maybe I had formed an opinion or a rule or an assumption that I had never bothered to question. And I think it's because I'd been raised like that and I'd heard it so many times over and over again that I just started to take it as a fact. And it really jerked me up short. And I remember going and thinking about that a lot and coming back to the practicum group, I think it was the next week or soon after. And I thanked her for opening my eyes. And it wasn't opening my eyes to her opinion. It was opening my eyes to my own belief system and that window into my own soul that I had this prejudicial belief that women were catty, that I had never bothered to question it or think where it came from, or that maybe possibly my mom's opinion on that could have been jaded by her own personal experiences. I just thought that's how it was. That was the beginning of my foray into looking at what other personal rules had I formed in what was then my short lifespan, in my very early 20s, and I'm going, wow, what else did I figure out that life was like and I might be wrong? And so I've never, ever forgotten that beautiful lesson of that day. And have tried to stay cognizant of what my personal rules are and for what reasons they are there. So probably more than most people, I'm pretty much in tune when I hear myself spout a personal rule. And I'm very in tune to it when I hear others do it. And I am purposely in tune to it when you're sitting in front of me in a therapeutic session. So I've done this so often with clients where I have them get into their personal rules and explore them. And it has been a very, very good therapeutic tool and a developmental tool in that you can grow in who you are personally and find a path into your own consciousness and look at some of your old values and traumas and reasons that you have figured out these personal rules. And you have a chance to change them. When I heard that thing about my view that women were catty and I was abruptly changed in that, I totally reevaluated that rule and realized that I was unfairly judging 50% of the population based on my history or my view that had been put in my brain and that I needed to alter that. So I'm giving you that opportunity right now. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk more, give you some examples, other examples of people and their personal rules and how it has affected themselves, their relationships, and just their relationship with the world. So at the break, be thinking about what are your personal rules? We're going to talk more about it in a minute. Be right back.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Remember us, the Tula Kids? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dish dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
No, you don't.
Hey, kids, we're working here. Give us a call, and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474. Or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we are talking about personal rules. What are the rules you've formed for yourself and for your life, and how do they affect you? You're listening to the beautiful Native American flute music of Randy McGinnis. You can check out his music at randymcginnis.com, Spotify, Pandora, iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, all over the place. He's an award-winning Native American flutist and plays all over the world, and we are grateful that he allows us to use his music on this show. Thanks, Randy. Okay, so you're thinking about your personal rules, and what are they and how do they affect you? So I want to give you a couple of other examples that you might relate to, or it might start you thinking about, oh, I kind of do this, and that is a personal rule of mine. So remember, we're not necessarily talking about those kind of positive mantras like, I try to be kind, I try to be generous, I try to have an attitude of gratitude. We're talking about the personal rules that you form often in your head and not anywhere else that you use to try to feel safe. So let me give you the story of a person who was talking to me about how burned she had been in sexual relationships throughout her life. She was by now in her early 50s, and she's talking about having suffered through several bad sexual experiences, of starting when she was a child and moving on into adulthood. And so she had formed the idea, the rule in her head, that people that she might be in a sexual relationship with, that she might be in a relationship with, were not always safe, and that people have sexual secrets. And so as I'm listening to her talk about her traumas and working on what she currently came into therapy for, she kept going back to the idea of, well, you know, people have sexual secrets that they never talk about, and people have traumas, sexual traumas that they never talk about, and there are partners out there who would hurt you sexually by betrayal or by needs and desires that they have that are not like yours that can cause trauma for you. So she would say this conviction very strongly and know that this was true because it had been true in her world very often. So at one point I stopped her and I said, so it sounds like you have a personal rule about what people bring to the table in a sexual relationship. And she said, what do you mean by a personal rule? And I said, it's kind of that you have based this on what you've been through in life. And if you can say, I always keep it in the back of my consciousness that people have sexual secrets and I do not know everything about this person, then you are reserving a piece of you to stay safe. And I'm not judging that. I'm not telling her, oh, that's stupid, or you shouldn't be doing that, or, you know, that's undeveloped of you. I just want her to take a look at it. And she did. It was really beautiful. She stopped and held it, and she said, well, yeah, I do have that rule. And so I said, let's talk about why you have that rule and what it does for you and where that rule came from. And often I ask people, is that a rule that you want to teach someone else? And sometimes they'll say, oh, yeah, I taught my daughter that. I told my son that's what happens when blah, blah, blah. And like my mother taught me that all women were catty. That was a rule that she passed down because she totally believed it. So when someone believes it to be an absolute truth, it is often something they are willing to teach their children. When it is not an absolute truth, when it is just a truth for them to keep them safe, then one of the deciding factors is they'll say, well, no, I wouldn't want to teach that to my child. And let me give you an example of that. A young man who was talking to me about how he was not good enough. And that even when you try your best and try your hardest, you are often seen as not good enough and it will backfire on you that you're trying to do your best and to be your best. And so he's talking about this. And then we start talking about, well, is that a personal rule you have? That if you try hard, it's often going to bite you and you're going to be found to be not good enough. And he said, oh, yeah, yeah, it's happened a lot. And that's what happens to people. And I said, okay, so you're coaching a young team. You've got a team of, you know, young football players, and you're going to go out there and you're going to teach your team, look, when you try your hardest, you are often going to be found not good enough, so you might as well not try. And he said, well, no, that would be a dumb thing to teach him. And so I just kind of looked at him and said, huh. And he stopped and he said, yeah, I wouldn't be teaching the team that. I said, okay, so it's a personal rule that is only good for you to keep you safe, but you don't believe it's a universal rule that you would want to teach young people or teach anyone else because you see it as not healthy or not productive. And he said, yes. So then what we did is explored how did he come about that rule and what did it do to him as he tried to stay safe? And he realized how many times that personal rule, which was actually a fear of failure, a fear of not being good enough and being rejected and abandoned, and we had to get into that therapeutically. But when he was able to explore that personal rule and figure out that it actually created a ton of harm in his life in terms of sabotaging what he was capable of handling or how far he was capable of going in certain things, and how often he walked away from the possibility of success because the fear of failure was harder. So he really stopped and looked at that, and it doesn't make it easy. It isn't like all of a sudden a light bulb goes on and you go, oh, I'm never going to do that again. But the idea is for us to be more conscious about these destructive personal rules that we have so that when we start to spout one off or act on a personal rule that harms us, we can stop and say, I don't want to do that. I don't see that as healthy. I would not teach that to others. I'm only doing that to protect myself. And then when I can teach my clients, so you're afraid. You're afraid of success. You're afraid of failure. You're afraid of being not good enough, being abandoned and left. What exactly are you afraid of? And we can move into that therapeutic stance of managing their fear and recognizing their fear. Then all of a sudden, the personal rule doesn't hold any water anymore. And they can begin to change. So you can see how powerful that this can be. Now, let's look at kind of the categories of personal rules that I see a lot in my practice. And believe me, this is not all of them. I hear people that say, well, you know, all doctors are. And I'll fill in the blank. All doctors are quacks. All doctors don't know what they're doing. All doctors think they do. All doctors won't spend any time with you. I hear people finish that sentence in many different ways. Then I hear people with personal rules that all doctors know everything. All doctors are gods who can tell you exactly what to do. And those of you that are doctors out there are shaking your head. Yeah, I'm teasing. But they have rules about doctors. Many, many people have rules about relationships or about the opposite sex or about their sexual attraction of choice. Say you're heterosexual, and I hear many women say, oh, all men are this. All men are pigs. All men, can't trust them. All men cheat. And they'll have all these negative rules about men that they say out loud in an effort to protect themselves from giving over their whole heart or letting down any boundary or letting a man fully in because they might get hurt again. And then by the same token, I hear men say, oh, all women are crazy. Find one that's not crazy, that's a miracle. It's a unicorn. So men have that as well, that women are a certain way. And those are your personal rules. And your rules are based on a lot of things. Let's look at our relationship rules or our rules about our partners of choice. Those rules are often based on what we saw from our parents, how well their relationship went, how catastrophic it was or volatile or how healthy. It's also based on how many times you feel burned or betrayed or hurt or left. And we form these personal rules. And many of us think that they are the absolute truth. Men are X. Women are X. Relationships are this. Doctors are this. And they start to form their life around this personal rule that they have, or these many personal rules that they have. And they're very unconscious sometimes. And many people are very, very steadfast in them and will defend them to the hilt. And so they spout them off like they're the absolute truth. So stop and take a look at your personal rules. Like, fill in the blank for a couple of these sentences. Relationships are basically what? People are mostly fill in the blank. Doctors tend to be. Therapists are. Those are the type of things that will give you an idea of what you believe and why you believe it and how it affects you. So this is the way that you can look at yourself and figure out how you steer your life by these rules, where you got them from, if they're healthy or not. And do you need to change them? Are they harming you? And let me tell you how that works. Sometimes when you have a belief system, for example, if you're a woman in the dating world, you're trying to find a relationship, and you have a belief that all men are basically pigs, that all men cheat, none of them are really honest, they'll leave you at the first chance they get. If those are your basic beliefs, then the chances of you finding a man like that, is really, really high. Now, it probably shocks you a little bit, but we tend to attract that which we believe in. So if you believe that men and relationships are generally bad, unhealthy, dysfunctional, the tendency is for you to see that type of person and it to feel familiar to you, and you may move toward that out of habit, out of recognition, out of it being a known quantity. It isn't that you're necessarily repelled by it. You may be attracted to it. So it's something to know that our personal rules can actually create more harm for us than keeping us safe. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about how do we really look at these rules and change them.
Working from home? Conference calls?
You're still on mute, John.
With everything we have going on right now, it's never been more important to get the sleep we need. Quality Sleep is a natural immune booster, and only the Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts your comfort and support on both sides, your Sleep Number setting. So, all those other things we're doing to stay healthy and happy, well, they'll work better too. And now, during the lowest prices of the season, the Queen Sleep Number 360 C4 smart bed is only $12.99. Save $400, only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty. We're talking about personal rules and how they affect your life and how they steer your ship, so to say, in certain directions. So once you become aware of your personal rules, and you've even, maybe even in the show, you've grabbed a couple of them and you've started to say, wow, I wasn't really thinking about that. Then we have to figure out, how do we change? So the first step, we'll call this just step one, is we have to have awareness. What are our personal rules? Do we like them? Are they healthy? Would we present that personal rule to a young person we're trying to mentor, or a child of ours, or a classroom if we're a teacher? Do we like those personal rules? Do they help us? Do they augment our life, or do they detract from our life? So that awareness of what is the personal rule that we have. Then step two, once we're aware of what a personal rule is, we want to ask, where did that come from? Did it come from society? Did it come from our parents? Our experiences? And that can be really hard sometimes, because let's say you have a personal rule that all men are horrible in relationships, and fill in the blank somehow with that, however you feel. It might lead you to recognize you've had traumas in your life with men. Some of those traumas might be sexual traumas. Some of those might be very unconscious or never dealt with, or very young age where you were very vulnerable and didn't have the safe environment in which to speak about what happened. So you'll have a natural kind of block to looking at where you got that rule from. And that's where you may need to have help. Sometimes therapy is a tour guide. It isn't someone to undo something that happened to you, but it's to hold your hand as you go into the abyss. So picture that a person who's had a really traumatic sexual past that they've never fully dealt with might trigger dealing with that as they look at their personal rules. This is a good thing. This can help clear your whole consciousness, move you forward in a more positive way. But it also might be very sad or scary, and you might need somebody to help you. So looking at where your personal rule came from. So at the moment, let's assume that you're looking at some pretty basic personal rules about life or doctors or whatever, and you're going to really explore that. Let me give you a different example. When I was 14 years old, I was attacked by a boxer, and the boxer chased me down and bit me and kind of took a hunk out of the back of my leg, and it was very, very frightening. And the aftermath of it, too, was very frightening. The stranger who wanted me to pull my jeans off and show him where I was bleeding. He was just trying to help me, but that scared me too. It was a very difficult trauma. So for a long time, I was very frightened of all dogs. Any dog barking at a fence or anybody's dog that kind of barked at you would make me kind of go white. And I worked real hard at getting over that because I really liked dogs. I had a dog. Then for a while, I kind of made a rule that all boxers were bad, that they were scary dogs and they could be vicious. And I'd say that every once in a while out loud, and people would go, no, what makes you say that? I had a boxer. I've had boxers all my life. They're wonderful dogs. And I'd be thinking, no, they're not. And so I started to work really hard at not generalizing my trauma to just boxers, and then not generalizing it to all dogs, then recognizing that I had focused it on just boxers, and then trying to let go of that filter and say, sometimes dogs can be vicious when they're not well trained or they're not under control, like in their yard or behind their fence or on their leash. And so I was consciously looking at the trauma of that and the rules I was setting around dogs. So I have been a person who's been very resistant to saying all pit bulls are bad or all Rottweilers are dangerous, because I did that work a long time ago, trying to let go of my personal rule that dogs were scary and they could bite you and they were horrible. And I did a lot of work on that. So I feel like I really moved through that. I don't really feel it's a personal rule anymore. And I recognize it. And if a dog comes at me barking, I can go, whoa, that's old. That feeling of a little bit of panic is old. So that's a way that you can look at a rule that's not super triggering and really explore it and hold on to it and look at it. And you can purposely decide how you want to believe. I was saying to myself, I don't want to be afraid of all dogs. Then I was saying, okay, I don't want to be afraid of boxers. Then I was saying, I don't want to call one breed of dog bad just because they might have not been raised well. And I was able to move my personal rule along a continuum to a healthier awareness about dogs. And that was really cool. So that's just a little example of how you can begin to change a rule that you are recognizing is not healthy for your psyche, for your consciousness. So let's look at a bigger rule. Let's say that you're very fearful of being left. And in that fear of being rejected and abandoned, and, you know, I'm not lovable, I'm not worth staying for, something's wrong with me, I'm defective, people leave me, and you kind of have formed a personal rule that no one really stays, that you get left, that you on a regular basis get told you are not worth staying for. And so this personal rule kind of leads your life. You're standing back, keeping people at a distance, blocking them a little bit, not letting them fully into your heart. Kind of like somebody who's waiting to get punched, and your hesitation and your defenses are up. The illusion is that you are going to be safe if you get rejected. You'll have expected it coming. They won't take you by surprise. It won't hurt as much. You knew it. You knew all people would leave eventually. And so it reinforces your belief that everybody leaves you, or everybody leaves relationships. That can be a very difficult rule to change because you're probably basing it on more than one thing. But what's really helpful is to go back and look at all the times that somebody has left you. You're probably going to go back to childhood, go to the divorce of your parents, go to mom or dad who are really not present, go to siblings that have died, ways that you might have felt left as a child. Then kind of do a timeline through your life where you're talking about, you're kind of noting on the timeline every time you felt abandoned or left or told you weren't good enough. And I'll give you a cool exercise that I give to my clients. If you go to the paint store, you can buy a roll of paper that they use to do baseboards. Okay, so it can be just a brown paper or white paper, it doesn't matter. It's usually about 18 inches wide and is often like a 100-foot roll. Super inexpensive. Buy that roll of paper and lay it all out. Leave lots of room. Start with your birth and then do a timeline and all the way down that timeline from birth to however old you are now, put every time that whatever personal rule you're dealing with was reinforced. When did you first start to learn that personal rule? How many times was that reinforced by something happening to you, by getting burned or getting traumatized again, or just learning it from a valuable lesson somewhere? Valuable not necessarily meaning good. Okay. So a heightened experience. In that timeline, write down every time that rule was shown to you to be true. Now here's the hard part. Go back to your timeline to the very beginning, and every time you can think of that you were shown you were valuable. You were shown that somebody would show up for you and not abandon you. You were told that you were important, wonderful, kind, loving, beautiful, worth loving. And put those on the timeline too. Because there most likely will be times that did not fit the personal rule you were forming. But it wasn't real safe to look at those times because they negated your personal rule, which you thought and have always thought was keeping you safe from being hurt. So you're catching what I'm talking about with how do we change. The very first step is first looking at what I'm talking about here today and going, wow, do I have any personal rules? And you will know that you do because you will tend to say them a lot. You'll say them in jokes. You'll say them when you're spouting your politics. You'll say them when you're teaching somebody something. And you need to stop and look at that personal rule and say, do I want to keep that one or not? So, granted, a lot of personal rules are really important ones and safety rules, and you want to keep those. Some of them are based on trauma, and they limit your life. They don't augment your life. And those are the ones we want to take a look at. So the first step is saying, what are my personal rules that harm me, that are dysfunctional or negative or are kind of sad, or the ones I wouldn't teach my children or some younger person I was mentoring? And then really looking at where that came from. Sometimes it's as simple as sitting down and having a talk with yourself. Other times it needs to be more focused, like the timeline I'm talking about. And then there are times when it's really touching trauma buttons, and you will know. You'll kind of leave your body. You'll want to cry. You'll kind of go white. You won't want to think about it. You're turning the show off in just a second because it's bothering you. Then you might need some help, because sometimes you need a tour guide into the abyss. So the real issue that we're talking about here is, do you want to grow? Do you want to change? Do you want to evolve into a healthier, happier, stronger individual? This is a real good place to start, because you're saying, who am I? And why am I as I am? This is important. And I want to grow. I want to be more than I was yesterday. I want to be wiser, calmer, more loving. I want to accept myself and others in a healthy way. So looking at your personal rules is just a really cool way to do that. And it doesn't have to be scary. And if you need help doing it, that's certainly possible. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about personal rules.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. The Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In July, we're talking about getting your book into your target audience's hands, even if you're on a tight budget. August is Diagnosis Writer, which means we're taking a look at how to identify and solve common problems for many authors.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we're talking about the personal rules that we have. At this last section of the show, I want to talk about something that's happening in our current environment that is directly related to our personal rules, because I'm seeing people in my office extremely stressed, and friends, family, people I talk to are very stressed about just the situation in our country these days, the whole virus issue and all that goes along with that, the political polarization that's happening and how everybody feels about that. And I want to address this in view of personal rules. Many of us have personal rules that say, this is my political party, or this is how I believe. This is my stance on the COVID-19 virus. I believe this is happening or not happening. I believe this about masks or what should or shouldn't be. And there's a lot of polarization that's happening, which is stressful in and of itself. But then when I hear people saying that their personal rules are being attacked and they aren't allowed to believe how they have always believed, it's really stressing them and is a difficult thing for them to deal with. So look at the idea that you have held certain political beliefs, and that those political beliefs might have come from your family of origin or your community. You know, you are a certain ethnic background or you're a certain religion, and that ethnic background or that city or that, you know, whatever tends to be a certain political grouping. And one of your first challenges in your life before all this political turmoil would have been to say, do I believe like that? Is that how I want to vote or how I want to register or how I believe? And up until recent times, you were pretty free to kind of explore that and decide what was happening. And in many families, there was a child might grow up to become a different political party or not even go to that church anymore and change religions. And kind of the atmosphere, not always, but the atmosphere was often they have to make their own decision and their own choice. And they weren't ostracized or criticized or always told how to feel. Now, occasionally in some families, that was highly forbidden. And we all know people that have, you know, been ostracized because they left their religion or decided to be different. But I'm talking about how in the past there was more freedom for you to say who you were, and people would basically say, oh, okay, that's who you were. What has been happening recently in our country is there has been a polarization and there's been a push to tell people that you should believe as I do. And that's difficult when you are being slammed in your personal rules and told that you need to stop and believe like they do, or reevaluate and now believe like this, or don't vote like that, vote like this. And your belief system, your personal rules for yourself, and your freedom to be yourself is being programmed, challenged, ostracized, judged. And it is difficult for people. So if you're super stressed about this period in our country, it might be because you are defending your personal rules, you're exploring your personal rules, or you're feeling unfairly ostracized for what you believe or who you are. Now, ideally in our country, all people are created equal. Everybody has the right to believe as they do. We have freedom of religion. We have freedom of political party. We have freedom to vote how we want to. We can believe as we want to believe as Americans. And if you feel that that is being pushed and challenged and harming you, that might be part of what's creating your stress. So the people I see that are handling all this stress better are the ones that say, this is my personal rule. This is how I believe, and I'm not confused. I've spent a long time exploring that, defining that, deciding who I am, and I don't want somebody telling me that I have to believe like they do, or I have to start now being different. Those people are less stressed. They often sound angry at being pushed and shoved in a direction, but they're less stressed in terms of questioning themselves. People that are, like, maybe are new to their stance on religion, politics, whatever, and are now being pushed and shoved around and told they need to believe like someone else, are often stressed and angry and upset. So if I'm talking about you and what you've been struggling with, I want you to stop and look at what are your personal values, your personal rules about religion, about politics, about how you believe in your freedoms. And see if you are in touch with and centered on your own personal rules. Then if you can find it in this culture today, see if you can find information that you can research and read and talk about. Listen to all different views if you're trying to decide who you are and what your views are and what your personal beliefs are. See if you can find unbiased information. And that's the most difficult part in today's culture and in today's society, is finding something that's unbiased and factual and gives you information that doesn't try to slant you to someone else's personal view. So just recognize that this push on you and your personal views can be very stressful and disconcerting. And if you're suffering some from anxiety or depression, or you're angry, or you're feeling attacked, know that you're not alone. I'm seeing this a lot in my office. I'm hearing it a lot from listeners who send me, you can send me a voicemail when you listen to the podcast. On the podcast, you can record a message to me and send it to me. And I love to hear from people of how a podcast helped them, or a question, you know, they want me to address in a further show, or a subject that they think would be great. I love hearing from you. So on the Anchor app, at least, you can go and leave a voicemail for me that lets me know what you'd like to hear, or how a podcast helped you. So looking at your personal rules, notice which ones are the ones that augment you and are good and keep you going in a healthy direction. Look at the ones that limit you, harm you, hold you back, sabotage you from doing well in your life or doing well in your relationship, and really make an evaluation. I often send clients home with homework, and I want them to list 10 personal rules that they have. Many people come back with more. Some people come back with 3 that they hear themselves spout off all the time. So tune into yourself. Listen to the jokes that you tell. Listen to the sarcastic remarks. Listen to the things you think when you're listening to the news. And evaluate whether that's your personal rule that guides you through your life in a way that makes you define your world and tries to keep you safe. So I want to thank you for tuning in today and listening to what can be a difficult subject for many. Don't forget to reach out for help if you need it, because the personal rules can be a doorway into some deeper, darker things that you might need to explore with some professional help. And there's nothing wrong with getting help. So this is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and you've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell, where I just want to help heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.